Thank you. We're calling WSL. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Roche Technologies conference call on the 10th of November 2014. On the call today, we have Belén Amplotzi, Sven McKnight, and Gordon Chilcott. We have received the apologies from Olivier Cattaneo and Fatima Campagnaro. From staff, we have Ariel Lang and myself, Matthew Kerrigan. I'd like to remind you all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, guys. And my apologies, Ariel Michel has just joined the call, too. Thank you, and over to you, guys.
Okay, thank you, Natalie, and good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone, and welcome, Ali, to the call. Okay, so we do have a busy agenda on this call, and this call is really in a sense to figure out what's our work plan between now and the non-Marrakesh meeting, the Singapore meeting in February. And we do have quite a few things to look at. So let's quickly review our action items from the last call. There were three action items. Action item, Judith Hellestein and Glenn McKnight to be pen holders for action item on recommendation 11 regarding post-Atlas 2. And that was related to the recommendation 11, which talks about ICANN must implement a range of services to facilitate access according to various criteria, gender, cultural diversity, and user needs, disabilities, etc. I think this has been done. I have to thank Glenn and Judith for doing this. I put the link in the chat there. Glenn, you want to say something? Go ahead.
Thank you. Glenn McKnight for the transcript records. In response to that, we really focused on the disabled persons of disabilities rather than gender and cultural diversity. We were not sure from who actually came up with that concept what they were thinking of. So I don't think we fully answered the recommendation, everyone, because we worked from our strength, which is what our strong points are.
Mm-hmm. That is indeed correct. That is true. Perhaps it's not complete, but at least some progress has been made on this item. And regarding the second part of the question, this was a second AI. Devananta Luxing to email the chair since this recommendation 11 was shared with both the accessibility working group and the technology task force. The chair of the accessibility task force was contacted regarding the clarification of the use of the words like gender and cultural diversity access facilitation. It's been acknowledged. I don't think formally there's been an actual response to this, and I could be I see Judith has joined the call, and Glenn are also members of the accessibility working group. Has there been any deep discussion on this, exactly what does this recommendation mean?
No, and you know what, it's going to be the problem with all the Atlas. Glenn McKnight again for the transcript. You know, we're going to have inherently the same problem with every recommendation with Atlas 2. Lots of great policies and very rich, but very poor in capacity. Many of these things have very little financial will and political will to make them happen. But they sound good. They are very much lofty goals. Whether they actually will be implemented and line items associated with them, I highly doubt. I'm not trying to be skeptical or negative. I'm just trying to be realistic. In fact, Judith may have a comment on that if she can pipe in.
Okay. Thanks, Glenn. This is Devan again. Judith, any follow-ups, anything you want to add to that regarding recommendation 11 and the parts that's assigned to the accessibility task force regarding clarifying the gender, the wording of the criteria such as gender and cultural diversity and so forth?
this is Judith Hellstein for the record. I don't necessarily think it's a gender issue. It's the cultural diversity, I think, would be helped along with the other recommendations on aisle 11 that we made on which had to do with the captioning. Captioning is not only for people who have a disability, but is also for people whose English is not the first language, and for people who are bandwidth challenged. And I think those two things would help out in the cultural diversity because you can get more people who don't speak English to become more part of it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And
okay,
also, the idea also of raising awareness. So that also with the cultural diversity is in the sense that many people are not aware that lacking of captioning or lacking of other things or not welcoming or not trying to encourage other people to come in or figure out what are their stumbling blocks. And it's not that people do not want to, is that they're not educated and they're not made aware. And I think that is some education that needs to get done, but that's not necessarily in the that's more in the accessibility, but in the technology task force, it is reviewing technology that is accessible.
Right.
And adding inputs that are accessible.
Okay. Okay, thanks. Yeah. Okay, thanks, Judith, for that. This is Dave. So I think, well, we just have to just monitor the, well, since both of you and Glenn are on accessibility working group, you can keep tabs on as to how the accessibility working group tackles this recommendation 11 as it relates to us in the technology task force. Okay, going back to the action item. The third action item was regarding recommendation 26. Myself, Dave, and I are selecting to create separate wiki page to identify list the current policy management process flaws with the aim of reaching recommendations and assigned members per wiki page. Well, the page itself has been created, but the actual identification of the current policy management process flaws has not happened yet. And that is on our agenda item as to how we can work on that issue. Okay, so those were the action items. Okay, and so now we can go to agenda item 3, which is the actual topic at hand, which is the follow-up on Atlas 2 recommendations. So we just talked a little bit already on the number 11. But number 26, which is the one dealing with the policy management process system, I put the link already to the post Atlas 2 items for the technology task force there. This policy recommendation 26 is one that's assigned to social media, technology task force, and to the capacity building working groups. And the recommendation reads that ICANN must implement a workable policy management process system that's available for use across the ISOs and EACs in order to enhance knowledge management, improve the effectiveness of all ICANN volunteer communities, improve cross-community policy-specific activity, enhance policy development metrics, facilitate multilingual engagement, create a taxonomy of policy categories, and provide policy development history as an aid for newcomers. Now, I think all of the three working groups have had meetings just before the LA meeting to discuss this recommendation, which is a which is a very, well, it's a very important one, but it's also potentially one that requires a bit of thought and some, and to try to figure out how this could be implemented or how it should be documented. And one of the ways I was thinking was that, well, we need to really identify, as I kind of say, we need to identify the problems before we could come up with solutions. It's not just to say we need new technology for this, or we need a change or redesign. We need to understand why our policy management processes within ICANN are not sufficient. And once we document those flaws or shortcomings or however you would like to describe it, then we can then look at once the issues are identified, then we could try to come up with solutions. So for social media, I think just if I'm trying to, and Ariel, who is also very involved in the social media working group, will probably correct me if I'm wrong. One of the things that the social media working group will be looking at is looking at creating a taxonomy of policy categories as possibly where they could be of most impact. The capacity building working group is looking at the aspect of knowledge management, of how, but we now have to really look at how would this policy management process system work. So, and the thing is, there is a new person at ICANN called, Ashwin, and I'm trying to, my mind has gone blank as to the surname of that person, and it's just kind of embarrassing. Ashwin Rogan, who is ICANN's Chief Information and Innovation Officer, and of course, Ariel or Natalie could correct me on that. Whoever that was, could correct me on that naming. But I do want to have something in mind, documented, before we have a conversation with Ashwin, because in order for that conversation with him to be effective, we really do need to have something on the wiki ready to show, some of the ideas or thoughts that we want to see regarding the policy management process system. Thank you, Ariel. Ashwin Ragan, thanks for that, for pointing a link to his profile page on the ICANN website. So, I'll open the floor for questions. Anybody wishes to talk about this recommendation 26 and how we should tackle this? Okay, well, seeing no one raising their hand as yet, let me just suggest one approach. I would suggest we probably have to have a weekly conference call. The reason why I suggest a weekly conference call is because I'm also involved with the at-large website redesign team. I see your hand. I'll come to you in a minute. That working group has had roughly weekly calls to look at the design of the at-large website. And a lot of progress has been made. And I'm thinking if the Atlas II, only these Atlas II recommendations, something has to be presented at the time of the February meeting, we need to really work now and hard to document the flaws and the way forward. So, Glenn, you have the floor.
I'm just responding to your request for people to give feedback on how to approach Ashwin. As we followed up with him in L.A., we met with him personally, as you recall, to deal with the knowledge management system. The guy's he's not a dummy. He understands it's really, really tough to come up with an effective management system, and it's equally tough to have something that's actually implemented. So this is a long process that we need to do, but we need to come up with some solutions that will make life easier for people, because I think I think we lose a lot of people because action items are not followed through or they're not captured properly. I think it causes frustration. So I think this is, should be one of the high priorities. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Glenn. Okay, I'm seeing two questions also from this is Dave. I do agree with you, Glenn. I'm seeing two questions in the chat here. Frank has asked whether the French translation of these recommendations is available. I believe, to answer that question, I believe the Atlas II Declaration, which has the text for all of these recommendations, was formally officially translated. Perhaps Ariel or Natalie could find the link to the documents. It was translated into the 6 UN languages. So perhaps the staff could find that link in the meantime. But questions regarding to Judith, regarding the website redesign, whether we invited someone from the disability community to join on all these calls, not as yet. I think we're trying to still come up with the design of the website itself. It hasn't been put in place yet. We've been focusing on so far like the wireframes and how the what should go where in the website. There's no website itself that's designed yet and ready to show or to evaluate as such in terms of accessibility. So that's not happening now. The discussions have been more on wireframes in terms of what information should go where and how and how information should be structured on the website, not so much the website itself. Okay. I was thinking perhaps what we can do is maybe it doesn't have to be a formal call, but I do think we probably do need to have a scheduled call we could actually look at this policy management process system, because we do have to now, it's a sense of also like trying to put on our thinking caps and try to think of envisage a way in which how would we want the policy management system to work, and to really come up with those ideas as to what we want it to be, as well as identifying those flaws that we find difficult. As Glenn said, as Glenn pointed out, the system is the way its system is. It's very hard for people to be involved, and people tend to be left behind by this policy management system that we have now. So I'm going to suggest perhaps a call, and I'm going to suggest perhaps not on a Monday, but more towards the end of the week. Which will be more of a separate call. How does that sound in terms of any objections to that?
No.
Okay, I see a tick from Gordon on that. Okay. All right. So I think the action item is to have a conference call specifically on looking at recommendation 26. So that's one action item. I hope staff is typing something on that. Great. I'm seeing it. Thank you, Natalie. I'm thinking either Thursday or Friday, but a doodle will go out to pick an appropriate time for that. And it'll be open to all the members of the technology task force. And perhaps we could extend it to the social media and capacity building members as well, since this is a joint meeting for anyone interested from those two working groups who want to be a part of that. I think that could an invitation could be sent to the capacity building working group and social media working group for any interested persons willing to be part of that. Okay. Let's see. Okay, I think that's the way we move forward on that. let's see. We do have a lot of agenda items. Let's see. Let's move ahead to agenda item number 4, ideas for improving the organization of at-large content. This, to me, is something that's also very, very critical. And I know this has been a challenging thing for this has been challenging for us as well. And I'm ever reminded of this when I try to find information on the wiki. It's just the search is not working as well as it should, and I think it's really due to the way the wiki pages have been structured and so forth. So we do need to really look at this on this issue as well. And I'm thinking the lessons that we're learning from the at-large website redesign we could apply to the at-large wiki reorganization of content. I'm trying to find the link for this. Hang on a sec. I can't seem to find it right this second. But regarding the, and I guess that's part of the problem. But being more serious, we did look at the content created by the at-large working group, and I did propose a template for how the at-large working group templates could be better structured. I do think that we need to look at we just need to focus on one thing at a time. Otherwise, we're going to be it's just going to be looking too overwhelming. So I'll suggest we just look at the working groups first, and after we've done that exercise of the working groups, then we look at the reloads, and then look at content created by the ALAC itself. Okay, and so with regards to the working groups, one of the things that we had looked at and we had suggested in the past was to have our own Confluence server, and there was some discussions at ICANN's IT staff before the London meeting, and what happened was that a server was set up, but the way it was set up, it was behind ICANN's behind the ICANN's inside of ICANN's organization, and therefore I needed a VPN, the IT staff had suggested that I had to then sign a NDA, which stands for a non-disclosure agreement, and it's one of those, and it was a kind of a detailed legalese document that two things. One, time for me to actually do this because of the Atlas II summit, and the more I thought about it, it's probably not the approach I want to take, because what I do want is to have members of the technology task force being able to tinker with the Confluence system and to work together in conjunction with at-large staff to really try to, you know, test plugins, Confluence plugins, different teams or layouts for the Confluence system without affecting our existing at-large wiki. And that was the reason why we wanted a separate Confluence server. And we noted also that updated versions of Confluence has very certain new features that would have been very interesting to test. For example, one of the features in Confluence talks about how action items can be better structured, and if you go to the Confluence page, you would have seen a video of this feature, and it would have solved one of our issues that we've been working on. That is the consolidation of action items from all the working groups of the ALAC onto one page. So what I'm going to suggest that I'm going to ask for ICANN IT staff whether a separate server can still be set up, but outside of ICANN's system, outside of ICANN. So in other words, there's no security concerns when we try to connect to the server. And so forth, and it will be really outside for us to tinker with, and if we do break it, then it's easy to just restart it and for us to work on. I also note that there's Confluence also has like a starter license, which is like $10 for installation of Confluence for 10 users. And actually, that to me is would work quite well for us, I think. So, any thoughts on this approach?
Hi, Dave. This is Ali.
Hey, Ali.
Hi, Ali. How are you? Go ahead.
Yep.
Go.
Hi. Good. Yeah. You when you said the Confluence server outside the ICANN, you mean outside the ICANN network, so it's not within the zone of the ICANN or within the firewall of ICANN. So it will be publicly accessible. This is what you are referring to?
This is Dave. Yes, I think that's, yeah, that will be the approach I want to take, because and I understand the security concerns, you know, by having a server there and for having a person, like persons outside the organization, like from the at-large community, accessing it. So I understand their concerns, and that's why I think we should, you know, it's really just to set up a server that's hosted outside of ICANN, so that we can then tinker with it, and you know, we could show it during calls and get feedback and so forth. What we could do is that, I'm not expecting to replicate the entire bits of information. It's more to test the layouts, and then afterwards make a presentation onto that to see whether, you know, the rest of the community would appreciate this type of redesign. You know, I hope you understand.
Sorry, this is Ariel Michal again. So basically it will be behind the firewall of the ICANN, let's say, is infrastructure itself, so to be accessible without going through the NDA or anything else. This is what you are suggesting.
This is Dave. Outside of ICANN. It's not, I think you said inside, but
yeah.
It's outside of ICANN's network. And,
we
can then... So that we avoid the NDA, non-disclosure agreement, and having to set up VPN software on our ends and so forth, which would have been another set of complications, I think. If we had to have more than one person coming in onto it, because I don't want to do it just entirely on my own. And I posted a link to the starter licensing. I found that they have this guide to installing the Atlas at the Confluence system. And actually, it's done in a kind of a storyboard kind of type of way, which is actually interesting from a social media point of view, because it kind of makes it like a storyboard and encourages you to tweet each stage and so forth. So it's something for the social media working group to look at. But... Just pointing those links out to you in the chat there. Okay, so any objections to that? So if I'm not seeing any objections, and I'm seeing a tick from Glenn, which I assume was a tick for this issue, and from Gordon, and from Ali. Great. Okay, I'm seeing no objections from Frank and Judith. So I think the action item would be for me to write to ICANN's IT staff to investigate the use to installation of a server outside of ICANN's network. Okay, thanks. All right. Let's move on to the next agenda item. Okay, and this is regarding the social media tools for team use. This is something that's coming out of the social media working group. And the social media working group is going to be having its call later this week to really bring this up, but just to give some idea here about this, the social media working group, one of the things that we are the group is looking at is how to better involve more members of the at-large community to actually be involved in composing the tweets for the at-large, the Twitter's at-large handle. Currently, right now, Ariel Liang, who is in charge of the at-large social media accounts, and what has been happening so far is that she's been pulling the information because she's the policy coordinator. She's aware of all of the policy and deadlines and so forth, and she has been pulling appropriate information twice a day, actually, regarding related at-large items. The thing is, though, we want to get more of the at-large community to be better involved. So we are looking at, yes, once or twice every working day, indeed. And she has put the link to the social media call, which is on at 1400 UTC this Wednesday. So the thing is, though, the concern is that we don't want to just give credentials to a whole bunch of different persons within the at-large community and have them independently post something. There's always been a concern as to, well, two things. One concern being, well, that content not related to the issues of at-large would be posted by other members of the community on the at-large channel. And two, there's also a concern of whether an opinion on a particular policy issue could be shared that doesn't have consensus from the at-large community. So an opinion might be expressed about a particular policy topic or policy issue that could be construed as representing the entire at-large community's opinion on it, when it may be a personal opinion from that community member. And that's one of the concerns. So one of the things that the social media working group will have to work on is coming up with some investigating sort of social management tools that will offer some sort of editorial control to Ariel. So the idea would be that the concept of it would be that at-large community members would be able to compose the tweets with the appropriate pictures, with pictures and so forth, but there will be Ariel will be more of an editor to then look at it to make sure it's okay, and then to let it through, rather than for her to compose the tweets on her own, which takes up some time for her. So I've noted two applications, and I post that in the agenda. One is Buffer, which is a social media management tool, and there's another one is Hootsuite. And those are the two key tools that I think offers those type of social management type of tools for social media accounts. I'll post the links to the in the chat there. Ari, you have anything you want to add to this point?
Thank you, Dave. This is Sarah for the transcript. I think you said very well. So we're looking for the tools in order to, the one goal is to have social media working group members to take more ownership of the channel so that it's just not staff posting it, but also we want to have members to contribute more for the content. And also it will be helpful during the ICANN meetings because when during the meetings I will be tweeting, but I will also be doing many other things like a remote participation management. So if we have members in the meeting room help tweeting, that will make our content more richer and also more timely too. So that's why we're exploring those tools. Yeah, that's the only thing I want to add.
Okay, thanks, Ariel. This is Dave again. So those are the two tools. Anybody has any, I had mentioned that I thought would accomplish this task of having the community being more involved to with the social media, to be posting on social media for at large. Anyone has any other suggestions to look at in terms of social media management tools? Okay, and seeing no one raising their hands or typing in the chat. So we have those two applications to look at. So our next question is, how can we effectively evaluate these two tools? I'm thinking we're going to have to do like some, just as how we did for when we were evaluating conferencing solutions and group chat solutions, we have to have a special purpose call to really look at these applications. And but perhaps what we can do is, in coordination with the social media working group, schedule a call to evaluate these two tools. Any suggestions or comments on that idea? I see Glenn is typing. Okay, Glenn is mentioning that the development of these tools is to help aggregate and distribute content. And Glenn is still typing. Okay, and the system now is too dependent on Ariel, and we need to help her. I fully agree with that as well. So I think we'll need a special purpose conference call to then evaluate these two tools. So perhaps on the social media working group call, we'll also mention this topic. And then have a special purpose social media technology task force call to evaluate these tools. Ali, your hand is raised. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. This is Ali Al-Mishan. Dave, these tools are free available or it's licensed tools?
This is Dave. Thanks, Ali, for that. Well, there's a cost involved for it. Buffer does seem to be more the pricier of the two, in that they have a business buffer for business, but there's a trial version we could try. So once we know when the call is going to happen, we could, you know, sign up for the trial beforehand, and then see how we can use this.
Cheaper.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, the purpose of my question is not the cost, to be honest. If it is a license and we need to buy them, then why we don't just, if the supplier or the software developer can be part of one of the calls specific for that and they just do a demo for us. So we all know how these tools work and they show us how powerful, how good is that tool, if they do that.
Right. Well, I think how they would do it, they would say, well, you need to just, there's a 30-day, Hootsuite has a 30-day free trial. The Buffer for Business is a 7-day free trial. So what we can do is then sign up for the trial because it will be free. You don't have to pay anything and don't have to go to figuring out how do we get the funds to actually do that and write to and, you know, try to get right to get the permission and so forth. We could at least try out the tools and then come up with a recommendation, but this is working, this isn't working, you know? But, I mean, in terms of writing, I suppose it could be done, but I see Judith is thinking, you think Judith, that's a good idea?
It would be demonstrated for us, yeah.
I see.
Said it would be great
that
if they can.
Okay. So, go ahead, Ali, sorry.
I said it will be great if they can do that, as even Jade is saying that a lot of vendors do that. And I know here in Bahrain or in this region, we never ever buy anything, even if it is very much cheap. They come and they present it for us. They show us for the people who are concerned with that. so we can see how it does work, and they are the owner of it, so they can show us the best out of that tools. So instead of we just go and test and have this trial, so I don't know, if that is doable, then it will be great.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Ali. Okay, well, I see, do see some support for that from at least Judith and I think Baran, and from... And from Gordon on this, so I think I think your suggestion should be taken up then. So just to confirm, how your approach would be to contact both Hootsuite and Buffer, and ask them if they can do a presentation demo of the tool. If I understand.
Yeah, and then we discuss it with them while we are on the call. If anybody have questions, feedback, yeah.
Great. Okay. Anybody? I think a tick from Glenn McKnight here. So I think this. I think Ali. I think there's a suggestion. We'll take up that suggestion then. Okay. So we'll write to the Hootsuite and the Buffer to schedule. Well, how should I put it? To contact the two vendors. I'm trying to word the action item here. To contact the two vendors. To arrange for a special purpose conference call for them to demo their product. Okay? And probably we have to be two calls then, because it would probably not make sense to have two of them on one call. So we probably need two special purpose calls on that. Okay? And I think we'll bring that up during the social media working group call, which I think would agree with this idea, this approach. Okay. Excellent. All right. And then if they are willing to do it, then we'll, which I assume they would, then we'll work up an appropriate doodle for an appropriate date and time with the persons involved. Okay. Yeah. Okay, great. Excellent. All right. Let's move back to the next agenda item. We're progressing through these action items. Very good. These agenda items, good. Let's see. Open discussion, call for topics for the TTF, for the Technology Task Force calls this year. Glenn, you had typed this agenda item. Do you want to speak on this topic?
Yeah, try them again.
This is the open item is open discussion, call for topics for the Technology Task Force calls for the year.
Okay, thank you. I was stuck. I left the discussion for a second to finish a report. I'm back 100%. Okay, so what I suggested in this this agenda item, everyone, is that we should really start looking at what items we can have for the balance of the year and beyond. So if there's issues, topics, demos, like Ali has suggested, we should be starting to put a list of suggestions. So I'm suggesting we have an open discussion, and everybody, this is not a chance for you to be quiet. You must say something. So I'm going to say to Dev, if you just put everyone on the spot, you know, which item do you think we should have that we should slate into our calls? So, and again, some of this could be joint calls like what we did with the Accessibility Committee on Captioning First back in October. So, you know, the plan here is what are some things on these calls? The reason is that we should have these calls full of people, and two, people in the wider community should know the value of this committee. So, Dev, if we can just go down the list, we can start with Ali and go down on what he would like to see, a couple of suggestions that we have as topics for our monthly calls.
Okay, this is Dave. I think Glenn. Well, Glenn, I suggest you chair and you walk down the list. So I turn the floor back to you for you to ask Ali.
Okay. Ali, it's your chance. Come up with a couple of ideas of what we haven't done or what we should be doing. Never mind the demo that we talked about a couple of minutes ago.
bring to our attention something that we should be, that A, we're neglecting, and that it will help the rest of the community.
Thanks, Glenn. This is Ali Al-Mishal. Do I have to do it now?
If you have something in mind, but definitely like to see something from people very soon so we can start planning our monthly calls.
Yes, that's absolutely right. But as of now, nothing on top of my head. But you are absolutely right. We have to come up with some things to plan it. And I think if giving the chance and opportunity to the member of this this group to think, and we have a deadline for that to submit, that will be great.
Okay, so for example, is there something that you use or you've seen in other organizations that you think I can benefit from, that you would suggest that in your wealth of experience working with ISOC or other groups?
Again, you are putting me on the spot. This is Ali Al-Mishal. As I said, Glenn, I have nothing on top of my head right now.
Okay.
Nothing at all.
Okay, I tried. No, it's sorry about that. If everyone had their homework before. Okay, so let's turn to Baran. Baran, do you have anything you'd like to share with us?
She might not be on. I don't know if she's on the channel, but maybe she can type it in.
I'm on my mobile.
Hi, Baran, we're hearing you. Oh, well.
Yeah, like Ali, I promise I can get you something. I can get something out to you within the next week.
Excellent.
I have a couple of things that are on my mind, but I can within a week. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Okay, let's turn to Frank. Frank Dussault from Benin. Frank, are you there? I'm not getting a Frank. Again, we'll send this email out to everyone in the group, just sort of simplifying what the request is. Okay, Gordon, do you have something?
Gordon Chilcott, for the record. Yes, Glenn. Well, I'm going to hear a long groan from Dev on this one, but there was a survey that was released out of the at-large community directly to get an idea of what tools people using and what their communities look like from the point of view of communications. That was done in 2010. And the results, it was a great survey. The results were very interesting. And it might be about time for us to do this again. The world has changed. I wouldn't recommend we do it this year, but in the next 2 years, perhaps that should be looked at. And there's always my frustration about search engines. You know, we've evaluated conferencing tools. We're evaluating chat tools a little bit. Search engines keep, the topic of search engines keeps coming up. And I know that ICANN is trying new ones now, but that maybe should have looked at a little bit more closely. And I'm going to have to think about it a little bit and maybe come up with something, some other items that are maybe a tad more realistic later. Thanks, Glenn.
Great. Thank you so much, Gordon. And I love the idea of an updated survey. I think that's a substantial idea, and I think we need to think that through for sure. And if you're interested, The Laura of the ICANN staff is working on feedback on the search engine for ICANN, so in the beta stage. So if you're not part of that group, I'll connect you with Laura, by the way. Let me turn to Judith, please. Judith, do you have anything that in your wealth of experience that you've had or shared with ISOC or your recent trip to Korea for the ITU, have you seen anything that, you know, that's a hot item that you'd like to share with us?
No, as Judith Hellestein for the record, no, I have not seen anything, except, of course, the push for captioning, but we've already just Glenn and I have already discussed this a lot, so that's the only thing I am pushing right now. But the only thing I'm saying is if we do bring something out, we should test it, and we shouldn't bring out something that's half-baked. And that was the sort of main complaint at the ITU Planning Pot was when they came out with an app for the scheduling, and it was awful. And it was pretty much useless. So if we come out with something, we really should test it and make sure that it works well.
Right. Beta testing.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. So I guess it's my turn. Back in L.A., a couple of staff people were talking about some of the guides that they were creating, and which were interesting because there was no integration with the guide that they created and the videos they had in the resource guide, which was kind of a disconnect. So I shared with them some ideas of the guides going on to an ebook Kindle e-format. So I would like to suggest, because I've had experience with this, creating a live streaming ebook, is that we look at ways how we can make the beginner guides for ICANN into a more ebook format, so people on their Android or iPhone could use this more effectively. So I would suggest that as a topic for us to start thinking about as more and more people access the internet via their phones, and we need to start looking at this wonderful content we have, and is it applicable? And if it's not that readable from a phone, it's sort of pointless. So I thought I'd just bring that one up as well. Okay, so I'll turn back to you, Deb.
Okay, thanks, Glenn. And indeed, it's good to hear the suggestions here. And regarding Glenn, I think your suggestion is spot on, because I note that, a lot of the documentation and the content that ICANN produces for the guides and so forth are PDFs. And as you mentioned, PDFs aren't exactly the easiest thing to work on in mobile, in terms, So if these guides were available in other formats such as EPUB and so forth, I think you could, and it's more accessible, I guess is the word, more easier for people to take with them and to consume, then you might see much, much more uptake on these guides. So I think that's a good idea. In terms of my suggestions, we do have someone later on the call in this agenda topics, but I think one of the things that I'm looking at is in terms of the, and I guess it's more in coordination with the accessibility working group in terms of language translation and some of the language tools. I'm seeing things like, Skype is now having beta for their language translation service. So for the idea being is that when you speak a particular language, it's translated by Microsoft's Skype, and it's voiced in an alternate language and vice versa, and it also appears in a chat window for Skype. So those kind of things I think are very interesting. iOS 8, for example. There's, with the introduction of new keyboards, for example, there is a translation tool that works with the keyboard. So as soon as you type it in, from the keyboard standpoint, it's translated. So that might be useful for those type of chat apps, So I think one of the issues also is language translation, is with the machine language translation for the Lakwalo list, which is also on the agenda items. Those are the comments I have for so far. I suggest an action item for moving forward would be for Glenn to work on a letter to the members of the technology task force, and I think also we can also post it on the global Skype chat to see what other persons have an idea of, and just to see because I think our at-large community is very diverse, and they may be aware of a particular tool there or system they saw, in either IG, Internet Governance Forum, or that they think ICANN should, or the at-large community should look at. So we should probably just try to get that wider, more broadly circulated among the at-large community. So I suggest that will be the action item. Glenn to write a letter asking for particular topics for the technology task force to focus on, not just for technology task force members, but for the wider at-large community to answer. And maybe set up a wiki page for that as well, so
okay,
that people can post comments on it, on the wiki itself. Okay. Let's see. Okay, the next agenda item, I'm sorry, this is going to be a little bit later here, so I'm going to try to move forward quickly on this. Let's see, suggestions for web conferencing. I've noticed that actually we're probably going to have to look at our suggestions for web conferencing. We've looked at a few tools, and I've noticed that there's been some changes in some of the web conferencing solutions. So you may have to go back in there and update our discussion and recommendations. But one of the tools that I noticed that I thought that looks very interesting, I'll post a link to it. It's something called I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but it's called Jitsi, and I'll post a link here. And it's an open source solution actually, and it's very interesting. Because it offers what they call a video bridge, which is open source, and they have one online for people to use right now. And the neat thing about it is that there's no account needed. So the first person that comes in, a unique URL is created, and then you just send people that URL for them to connect to that conferencing solution. And it works very much like Google Plus Hangouts or some of the other conferencing solutions that allow for video feeds to work in. But I was impressed by, if you use the latest version of Google Chrome, that is, how easy it was to just start a session. And they have desktop clients for Windows, Macintosh, and Linux for those not using the browser. So I think this is a solution that actually might be very useful since there's no real limit in terms of in terms of the number of attendees. So I would like to propose a special purpose conference call to look at this tool, just to demo it out, and then we could write up more about it. Any thoughts, comments, or observations? Gordon, go ahead.
Thanks, Dev Gordon, for the record. I looked at it myself, and I'm kind of impressed. I'm quite impressed, actually. If we're going to do a conference call on this, I would like a couple of weeks' notice because from the Linux side of the house, I would kind of like to have a look at how easy those clients are to download and get installed. Sometimes mm-hmm. they look really, really nice, and sometimes they can be a real total pain to get running. But yes, I think Jitsi really needs a serious look.
Okay. Well, this is Dave again. When you say a few weeks, so you want to have it within the first week of December then? Would that be an appropriate, that should be enough time?
I can probably schedule in. I'm going to see if I can get some help from a couple of the guys in the ALS. But yeah, we could do that. Sure. I can
okay.
Decide anyway, and if nothing else, I can find out how we can prove how easy it is to work with Chrome.
Okay. Well, this is Dave. I'll say yes. And if you want, we could easily try out, impromptu, off the cuff type of demo. When you're online and stuff, because it actually, to me, it worked very well for Google Chrome, because with Google Chrome support of WebRTC, once you click on the link, it just asks for access to your camera and microphone, and in fact, it turns itself on immediately as soon as you grant access to it, and then suddenly you see a video feed of yourself and with your microphone. And then you could just invite people. So it works very, very quickly for Google Chrome users. I don't know. I've not tried the desktop clients themselves. So I think you can. Any Any comments or concerns regarding Jitsi?
Let's see. Going once. Going twice.
Okay. Okay, great. So we'll try to do a special purpose call for to evaluate this conferencing tool, tentatively around the first week of December, because it's already the November 10th here, and I know that there's obviously one big deadline approaching for the at-large community for this month. So, and that's of course related to the IANA transition. Okay, let's see. Any other comments or suggestions for web conferencing before we move on?
Yeah, Dev, it's Glenn. I got a number of them, but because of time, I will I'll email to the list.
Okay. Okay, then. All right. Thanks, Glenn. And, of course, you can update, this is Dave, you can update the wiki page with some and put some placeholders for some of the things to look at. So you can at least look at it and discuss on the technology task force list, of course. Okay. Gordon, I see your hand raised. Is this an old hand or is this a new one?
Sorry about that. It's an old hand, Dev.
Okay. All right. Let's move on quickly now. Hopefully we could get this done in the next 10 minutes. Okay. Regarding the suggestions for group chat, so far we've looked at three things. We've looked at Slack, Hall, and HipChat. And I'm beginning to, and there are a few other group chat solutions, but I have to confess that none of those things seem to be bringing anything different. I think Slack and Hall are probably the best of breed of these group chat applications. So I'm not thinking. I know Sean and I think Natalie was working with Sean, who's unfortunately not on the call. Something called Japix, I think it was. But I've not really had a chance to even look at this tool. But I don't know if there's been any conclusion that came out of the testing for that Sean and Natalie did. Natalie, do you want to say a few words on this, or? Actually, Natalie, this is Dave. Sorry, Natalie, this is Dave. I'm barely hearing you. I'm not sure if it's my connection, or is it the same for others. Okay. Yeah.
Here.
So Natalie, something's
sorry,
wrong
here.
Yeah. Ah, this is much better. Yes, this is Dave. Yep, we can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay, my apologies for that. I was thinking we did the testing with Sean at the end of summer. So this was this might be a bit handy memory wise. However, we discovered that in terms of immediate chat, it offers very good possibilities in terms of document sharing. However, in terms of flexibility, which is what is being considered one of the key things to test, in terms of starting a new chat, inviting more people to an existing chat, but on a precise topic, because it was very, very clumsy. So it seems to be quite handy for example, staff purposes, rather than task force or working group and subgroup purposes.
Okay. Yeah, I found the link to this. Okay, thanks, Natalie. This is Dave. So it sounds that doesn't really, it's good for persons that's wanting to set up their chat server, I guess, but given that we have Skype already, maybe it's not as, if I understand you correctly, it's not offering anything more significantly better than Skype chats, for example, or the other group chats like Slack.
No, there was certainly nothing more.
Okay. Okay, well, we'll actually have to confirm that.
One feature that made it stand out.
Okay. Okay, well, we could probably note that to say that this has been looked at. Perhaps I'll ask Sean to just write a little summary about that to post onto the wiki, just to document this, that we looked at it. Okay. Any other thoughts regarding... I see a suggestion from Frank Spark. Okay, well, Do you have a link for that, Afan? For what Spark is? Because I'm not sure what that is. So if you provide that link, maybe it's something we could look at for future. Sure. But I'm really to think that, you know, the group chat idea, I think there is a strong possibility for how the community itself can use this tool. For example, with Slack, especially with the integrations that Slack and Hall as well, they have a lot of integrations. So for example, and they also support tools like IFT, which is the super integration tool that allows, like, if something happens on one service, then do this action. So, for example, you could do things like, for example, when there's an event on a Google Calendar, 15 minutes before, send a message to a Slack channel. Those type of things, which I thought, I think, are very, very useful, and I think, you know, saves a lot of the manual passing messages along type of thing, which I think is the one of the challenges for us. You know, staff has to manually copy a lot of messages back and forth in different formats, and we're also doing the same thing internally as part of the Relo and so forth. So I think there's an opportunity here. I think for Slack, and especially when to reduce the email overload. Because I'm just looking through a lot of the emails are like email announcements of meetings and so forth. And to be quite honest, after the meeting is done, there's no real reason to keep those emails. So I'm saying that I'm just drowning in emails and from all the various working groups and so forth. Sam, I would like to think, you know, maybe things like Slack and Hall, you know, the type of persistent group chat type of solutions can really work. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? And do you think that perhaps we should try to the phrase is, well, I think it's eat your own dog food. And perhaps try to use Slack to coordinate our discussions, just to get more people involved in at least one of the tools. Glenn, I see Glenn hand is raised.
Yeah, I recall bringing this issue up a couple of months ago because I've been so irritated with Skype, because you try to post an item and you just get lost in a sea of stupid conversation with the ALAC or Norello list that I'm part of, on stuff that's maybe U.S. government policy on somewhere in the world or some topic, which, because people want to sound important. And when you're trying to get information or share information that's applicable, it just gets lost. And so the Skype solution is not a solution. It's stupid. We need some system that properly threads discussion, and that, and also some kind of ranking system, like you've seen in many, many websites, where a good suggestion is ranked and it's pushed up, so other people can see it, so people can learn from it. So we have very faulty systems, and so I don't have a solution. And when we talked about Slack, we thought, well, but if people don't use it, the best solutions are no good either. So, you know, people will default back to what they're used to. So we need systems that are applicable to people that make sense. And you know, just for example, young people don't use voicemail anymore. In fact, it's pretty irritating because they're not communicating with their grandparents anymore by leaving a message. And they're pretty trite about it. They, you know, it's not my style. So our style of communication, this culture that we have, we need to look at it, how to be effective. And our communication skills are poor. You know, whether it's in presentations where people just talk forever, or, you know, and not getting to the point, or that these side discussions, whether in Skype or elsewhere. And there's a lot of online bullying that happens too, which I think, especially for newcomers, they come in, they get their feet wet, they get criticized or berated, and then they're gone. And as a person who's been responsible recruiting people and getting, and then, you know, feedback, why aren't you coming back on calls? Well, I'm tired of hearing the same old voices. So it's more than just communication. It's how we communicate, how we make people feel inclusive. How do we control the meetings so that the discussion is inclusive? There's a lot of issues here, and technology is not just the only problem.
Okay. Thanks, Glenn. Well, that is very interesting things to see. It's not really a technology. Well, it's not really a technology issue. And I can only just say that it's a challenge to try to have people to stay within a particular topic. And maybe Slack could help with that, in that, you know, you could have, like, if you want to discuss issues related to, say, the new GTLDs, and if you were only interested in new GTLD issues, you can then subscribe to that chat. And if you're not really interested in, say, the IANA discussions, the IANA transition issues, you know, maybe then you could choose to be on that chat or not. You know, those type of things. The challenge is, I think, unfortunately, it's very hard to fork conversations. All right. So, I don't have any other suggestions of how to solve that, because I think that's a more wider ranging issue that probably needs a little bit more thought on to think about. Anybody has any comments or suggestions? Okay, seeing nobody else saying anything on that, but I do want to suggest that perhaps maybe people could look at Slack, perhaps and just see whether it. People feel comfortable with using it, and would you use it in exchange for email or in exchange of Skype even, for example? So can I suggest then that we just simply let's make an action item to create accounts for all the persons on the technology task force to use or create a special technology task force channel. And just to get everybody on it, just to see whether people could be more engaged, as I say. Because I do know that we have a lot of people on the technology task force, but they're not fully engaged. And maybe just telling them they've joined to this tool, maybe something can happen as an experiment. Okay? All right, so we will create accounts for the technology task force members. We'll create a channel for them so they could participate on that channel. Okay. All right, I know we're running out of time here, and I know there's also other calls. Might I suggest that for item 9, that we push that punt that to another time, Glenn?
Yep.
Okay, thanks for that. All right, because I'm going to try to see if we can finish this off in 4 minutes or 3-5 minutes here. Regarding the Lakwalo Meal English translation, I'll post a longer email to the list about this. There's already a wiki page that's linked to it in the agenda as to the problems regarding Lakwalo, Lakwalo list translation, and I'll just post the link there. Which discusses the problems with that list. There's been a new mailing list set up to test this. Again, the testing, you know, has also fallen down a bit since due to Atlas 2. But now I only want to just take that up now, especially, and see if we can get that implemented. Because the Lakwalo mailing list translation, it's pretty poor, to put it mildly. You see a lot of gibberish. And strange characters in there, and it's very hard to follow any conversation, and it turns people off. I know Fatima Cambonero is a new member of the list, so I'm going to suggest that I'll work with her to get her onto that new list, and so that we can better do the testing The testing so far only works for is for English to Spanish right now, and well, Spanish to English, and vice versa. So we want to get that language working first before we ever consider other languages. Because I've heard a possibility that maybe that this might be useful for Afralo, for French and English. Okay. All right. I'll post something to the list on that. One final thing, and last but certainly not least, co-chairs for the Technology Task Force. As I'm no longer on the ALAC and therefore not going to, well, not likely to be at the ICANN public meetings, I think the work of the Technology Task Force is critical for two ways. One, if you are to present information, there needs to be somebody there to chair a Technology Task Force call, a session, at a public ICANN meeting. And I think we have such a, as you notice from the agenda items, we have a lot of work to do. So I do want to suggest that we have co-chairs for the Technology Task Force, and I am going to suggest that two persons as co-chairs, Glenn McKnight, who is now on the ALAC and will be most definitely coming to ICANN face-to-face meetings, and who has been. Heavily involved in the Technology Task Force. I'm going to recommend him for as a co-chair. And given the amount of work that's needed in terms of evaluating accessibility tools from the Accessibility Working Group, and I'm going to suggest Judith Hellestein to also be a co-chair to really help with that workload in terms of to really help regarding bringing together the testing of evaluation tools for accessibility and so forth, and to really help with the Technology Task Force all around. So, any thoughts or comments on this? Hopefully there'll be consensus on this. I see Gordon agrees with both. Thanks for that. And I'll probably post the list on this to make sure there is a consensus call on this on these co-chairs. Okay, Ali also agrees with both. Excellent. Judith, any quick comments? Okay, Glenn accepts, and Judith is typing also that she accepts. Excellent. Okay, so note that as an action item that Glenn and Judith are to be made co-chairs of the Technology Task Force. Email to the list to follow. And I think we can now wrap up this call, and I'm sorry for the taking so long, but we really needed to have this call today to really set out our workload that we have to do. Okay, so I think any other business very quickly?
And anyone going once, going twice, going thrice?
I see Gordon typing something. Okay, he stopped. Okay. All right, then. Thank you so much for being on the show. Thanks to staff again. Thanks to Natalie and Ariel. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning. This call is now adjourned. Take care, all.
Bye, everybody.
Take care, Deb. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.